All right, good morning. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Sunday morning, moving on to the end. Well, I guess we're still in the middle of August. I'm contemplating the state of the world and where we are in this. And right now, we are in a slow slog through this morass of cultural rot. We haven't yet turned a corner on it. We're getting closer. One of the things that I think frustrates my foes, the people who don't like me saying what I'm saying, is that they can't get an angle on figuring out how to stop me. Their angle is the financial angle, and God knows they've done everything they can to get me terminated from my job, which has nothing to do with my podcast, but it would certainly affect my life, already has. But I don't have any earthly goals in what I do and what I teach. I'm not trying to make a business. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm not trying to make money. I'm not trying to affect a specific political outcome. And so it's hard for them to fathom somebody that's willing to get out there and do what I do for no earthly gain. There's no earthly gain in saying what I say and doing what I do. There's utterly no earthly gain. Even people very close to me have said, "What are you doing? What are you trying to get out of this?" And my answer is, I'm speaking my conscience. I'm speaking my conscience before Almighty God, before my ancestors, before my offspring. I'm saying that which my soul requires of me. I'm saying that which my conscience demands. And my conscience will not allow silence before the evil and the rot in the world. My ancestors demand more of that than me. My offspring, I owe my offspring more than that, than cowardice and silence. I owe my God more than that. Do we not overcome the evil one by the word of our testimony? And are we not supposed to be proud of Jesus Christ and His every word? It's frustrating to open up my eyes and realize the reductionism in the church, how we've just tried to reduce Jesus Christ to a religion. We've tried to reduce Jesus Christ to this notional idea of morality and religion and forgiveness and love. And I recoil at it. And the more I think about this, the more I reflect upon this, the more I recoil at what we've done to our God, our King. Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's more than just a monarch. He's not only the Redeemer, He's the Creator. And we've reduced Him, and I'm talking about the church in general, essentially to something that the world is comfortable with. I had a guy that I've known for, decades now, and he said, "Fritz, when I listen to what you have to say and I read what you say," he says, "I have no idea what you're talking about. What does that have in relationship to Jesus Christ? That's not the Jesus that I've heard of or learned about, or my understanding of you know, the morality of Jesus." And the world has gotten used to the idea of faith in Jesus Christ as this personal religion of personal salvation, of personal morality, of personal eternal life. And they're very comfortable with that, because it makes no claims to the greater society. And I'm very interested in the claim to the greater society. I'm very interested in the claims of the monarch onto the entire world. I'm very interested in building Christian nations. I'm very interested in the aspect of the Holy Scriptures that's non-personal. And again, we've reduced it to personal this, personal that, personal relationship. And one does not need to discount that in order to also say, "Hey, listen, you read most of the Bible, it's not about the personal relationship, it's about the relationship between God and a nation and the nations. Entire ethnic groups, entire nations. You read the Hebrew scriptures, it's about the nations of the world. It's not about your personal morality or your individual prayer life. It's about converting nations of the world and the ancient nation of the Hebrews, the ancient nation of the sons of Israel, were supposed to be an example for the rest of the nations. And they would go up to Zion and they would say, hey, come, let's go up to the house of the Lord. And find out what makes them so great. To be an example for the nations. Not that the nations would accept it. But perhaps, it was about the nation. And the church has abandoned the idea of the nation. They abandoned the idea that we're supposed to be a corporate expression of Jesus Christ. A corporate kingdom. But that offends the Jews. That offends the world, represented by the Jews, represented by the children of the devil, represented by the synagogue of Satan. I know. I couldn't resist that, could I? But it's true. If it wasn't true, why would it be in the Holy Scriptures? And this idea terrifies the kingdom of darkness. It terrifies the world. That we would dare impose God's rule upon the world. You can't do that. Meanwhile, they impose their transsexualism on our kindergarten kids. And they think that's perfectly acceptable and that we're the odd ones out. Now, going back to the beginning of what I was talking about, there's sometimes a sense that, you know, when are people going to wake up? And if you've ever seen a compound growth curve, it trickles along, and there's no movement, it's very slow, and then it hits an inflection point, and boom, it shoots way up. And we're somewhere down, we're before the inflection point, I think. But we're getting nearer to the inflection point. And I think that's why you have people like Joseph Biden and the cabal around him. Not that he knows what he's doing, but I think they are terrified of what's coming. I think they're terrified of what's coming. And they're starting to panic, and they're trying to get ahead of it. And there's a great movement to absolutely 100% abandon the Constitution of the United States, to abandon the Bill of Rights. They don't say we're going to abandon the Bill of Rights. They just say, hey, we need speech controls. And we're going to do it any way we can, whether it's the Biden administration pressing the social media companies, whether it's universities kicking out students, whether it's employers terminating employees for having views that they disagree with. They're terrified. They're terrified that there's even one individual out there that has enough courage to challenge the powers of darkness. And I'm not blaming this on just the Democrats. Or just Joe Biden. It's Republicans. It's across the board. My task, I think one of the great tasks of this generation, is to keep laboring below the inflection point. That's where the heavy lifting's done. Keep laboring before we get to there. Don't give up. At some point, it might be 6 months. It might be 6 years. It might be a decade. It might be a couple decades. It might be a generation. We're going to hit that inflection point. Might be after my lifetime is over. And this is why the church is called to be engaged in this stuff. There's no earthly reward for what I'm doing. There's no earthly reward for this. And that's why only the church can do this. If you're looking for an earthly reward, I suggest you pile up your money and you go you go figure out how to live out the rest of your life and keep your head down, which is what a lot of people are doing. And this is why, for me, the goal of this, the way this happens is through the church. It's through the church. And not even church leaders. It's going to be individual Christians who say, you know what, it's all about the word of my testimony, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and spreading these ideas for no earthly reward. No earthly reward whatsoever. None whatsoever. There's no earthly reward that I can get out of what I'm doing. I don't ask for money. I don't get money. Don't want money. Ain't nobody going to tell me I'm doing this for money. And it was, I'm going to say a bad word here. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Oh, you're doing this for this or that. No, I don't think so. And then they're like, well, how do we stop these people? They don't even care if they get rewarded. They don't even care if they're punished. They don't care if they suffer. How do we stop these people? That's why it's the church's job. You're not going to grow your church this way. You're not going to get rich this way. All you're going to do is get hatred and ridicule from the world. That's all you're going to do. And from the church. The wayward, backslidden, deceived church. Well, you're not a very good Christian because you don't love God's people. So there's no earthly reward in it. And this is why it is the truly the church, the people of God, that only can do this. Maybe only is too strong of a word, but we're willing to do this regardless. And we got to keep pushing till it hits that inflection point. And then it will snowball. And then people will wake up and say, oh yeah, I believed that all along. Now, we're not there yet. And this is why every voice matters. Every single voice, every Twitter matters. Every Facebook matters. Every blog matters. Every podcast matters. Every tweet matters. Every gab matters. Every email matters. Every sentence you say, every sentence you utter matters. We're down where the curve is low. Progress is slow. We haven't hit the inflection point. Every single voice matters. We have such a great opportunity if people would take it up. What do you got to lose? Your life? Were we not already warned about that? You want to seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you want to lose it for the kingdom of God, you save it for eternity. This is it. This is what Christianity is. This is what serving Jesus Christ is. You serve Him when it's tough. You don't serve Him when it's good. You serve Him when it's tough and thankless, and there's no reward, and there's no possible way you're gonna come out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. Anytime I feel sorry for myself, I read that. They were sawn in two. Some were sawn in two. I'm like, my God, what am I complaining about? You get a church like that, you can't stop it. It cannot be stopped. And my yearning, my hope, is that individual Christians that nobody knows about wakes up and said, oh my God, what an opportunity I have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with any means I have in my hands. And it's not limited to an internal religion. We're going to build Christian nations. We're going to be proud of our own race. We're going to be proud of the white race. The hatred out there, the hatred towards the white race is demonic. It's not just, you know, somebody came up with a good idea. It's out of the pit. It's right out of the pit of hell. And it's led by the synagogue of Satan. My goal is to get people to wake up to that. The fifth commandment is eternal. It doesn't go away. You honor your ancestors. You be proud of your race. We're going to build Christian nations. It's tough right now. The slogging's tough. But we keep going. And let them fear. Oh my God, let them fear. And they're getting closer and closer, I think, to the panic point. And one of the a bigger point that I'd bring out is when you think about World War, which we, depending on who you listen to, some people say we're in the early stages of the Third World War. Third World War is very convenient if you want to genocide a group of people. It's very convenient if you want to suspend the right to the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to communicate ideas. And you've seen this. We've seen this for 8 years now. Trump, MAGA, it's a Russian conspiracy. It's completely the opposite. The whole Russian hoax was a I don't want to get into that, but you know what I'm saying, talking about. What if your crimes are so vast, whether it's financial corruption or DNA corruption or the vaccine corruption or the COVID corruption or the biolabs and the corruption? What if it's so great that the only way you can cover up these crimes is a great war, when everything is erased physically, institutionally? Is that a goal? I don't know. The more I predict the future, the worse I am. But there's stuff going on, and I think they're deep down underneath, they're nervous. They're panicking. So don't expect things to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But we keep pushing, and someday we're going to hit that inflection point. And when it does, baby, oh, man. We're going to see some things that we never could have imagined. And people are going to say, we're done with that. And they're going to take these trannies, and they're going to string them up, man. I'm telling you, they're going to string them up. And so we're done with that. You're going to teach trannyism to our grade school? They're going to get strung up. You want to give you a biblical example of that? Sure, here you go. The people were of two minds. The people were of two minds. Elijah comes along, and he challenged the prophets of Baal. Very, very powerful. They owned all the institutions. The prophets of Baal and their cabal owned all the institutions. It's the same as the synagogue of Satan. And somehow Elijah got enough traction going. He brings everybody out there. He says, here's what's going on. And the people, they wouldn't make a decision. They refused to make a decision. No, we want to see who's got the power here. Cowardice on their part. Backsliding on their part, unfaithfulness on their part, but nevertheless, that's where it was. But oh boy, once that wheelbarrow turned over, what did they do to the prophets of Baal? They took them down to the creek and slaughtered them all. There's your theological example of that. Once this sucker turns, baby, it's going to be very interesting. Don't know when it'll happen. Might not happen in my lifetime. But at some point, people are going to wake up and say, oh my God, what have we been putting up with? And it's going to be all over. So that's it. Be of good courage. Keep speaking the word. Keep saying what needs to be said. And we're going to get to that inflection point. And it's going to be exciting. Fritz Bergeron, good morning. BloodandFaith.com.